ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pitch, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the podcasters, and everybody else in between, including maybe or maybe not Rob Vino. We're waiting on Rob Vino to step up with him for a couple of minutes. He's got some other tapings that he is scheduled to do. So we'll see if Rob Vino is able to join us for a couple of minutes today. If not, it's all good. We've got a bunch of picks and trends that I want to go over. It's a big weekend this weekend. College football is critical, but NFL football as well. But we've got a big MLS playoff game in Vancouver. MLS playoffs resume this weekend. So, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, including the Formula One race in Las Vegas as well. And there were heavy rains in Vegas earlier in the week, but the weather has cleared up. Yet the tickets, you know, the ticket sales and the F1 race continues to diminish on a yearly basis in Las Vegas. I went to the first year. I liked it, but it was too expensive, so I haven't gone back for it since. But it's amazing because tickets I saw last night were going for like $36. And, you know, like 4 years ago, three or four years ago, whatever, tickets were like $16. $100. And here is Ollie Bearman. Ollie Bearman on the Las Vegas race. This is the least enjoyable street track I've ever driven. I mean, the track itself is cool to be racing down the strip in Las Vegas, but aside from that, there's not much good stuff. Max Verstappen, who is a big voice of Formula One drivers, hates this race. They all hate Vegas. Like, nobody likes Vegas. And it's to the point where F1 fans don't really like Vegas either, but they're locked in for the next 10 years. It is what it is. And the drivers, it's not like anti-Vegas for the drivers, like, oh, they hate the city of Vegas or something like that. But people, and I think, I don't know if Vegas didn't tell them and they weren't really honest with them, or if, you know, if F1 was just like clueless about it. But the thing is, the weather really isn't that nice in Las Vegas in mid-November. It isn't, and it never has been. So you have this race in, you know, in this city that, you know, is the desert and is known for, like, you know, being outside and stuff. But, you know, when I went, it was cold. Like, you had to have like a hat on. It was like very winter-like. It was like the coldest F1 race ever type of deal. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, it's nice weather. This week there was flash flooding there, right? Like, the drivers hate it. The teams hate it because they don't race in any other race where it's cold. So suddenly they got to worry about different tires, and it's just like a completely unique situation. They race at nighttime, which pisses the drivers off because they never get to sleep. So, like, they think it's dangerous. Like, they basically have you practicing and practice testing and qualifying kind of like during the day. With all, put it this way, like, with all the obligations and stuff like that, drivers, like, one driver said last year that he was up for 21 hours. He said between, like, all the obligations in Vegas and going back and forth from the hotel and this and that, said I basically slept like 19-20. I was up for like 19-20 hours. And when you're racing, he basically said, you know, it's okay if you're partying in Vegas, but when you're racing a car at 200 miles an hour, it's not good to be, like, sleep deprived. Right? Like, the whole thing is just dumb, kind of. Like, they've got to move the race to, like, the start of the year. It would be cool. Have the race in the desert, in the heat and stuff, and people would actually wouldn't mind spending a lot of money. But like rich F1 fans don't want to spend a bunch of money to sit outside in Vegas and be cold. And average people don't want to spend a bunch of money on F1 to sit outside and be cold. So, like, it's just sort of a lose-lose situation. But as far as the race is concerned, should be cool. And I think Max Verstappen will win the race. And I brought up Vancouver, and Vancouver is lit right now, man. This is like a sports revolution going on in Vancouver now. Vancouver, people in Vancouver will be the first to admit that it's an okay sports town, but it hasn't been known as like some great sports town, right? It's been Canuck-centric and Canuck-heavy. But to put in context, and not a lot, like put it this way, like if the city of Toronto was doing this, it would be like the opening story on TSN and, oh my God, TFC sold 54,000 tickets and are in the Western Conference semifinal. But since it's Vancouver, they haven't mentioned it once. They're too busy talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs every day sucking and stuff. It's true. Like, I saw SportsCenter the other day. They opened up with the Leafs. It's like nobody cares about the Leafs. Like, people in Toronto barely care about the Leafs anymore. So, like, well, like, why they think it's like the biggest story in sports or something. But you had a Vancouver Whitecaps play LAFC. 54,000 people will be in attendance. It is sold out. Tickets are like $300 to get in right now for a Vancouver playoff game and not a hockey game, which is crazy. And speaking of hockey, the Vancouver Golden Eyes women's team make their debut tonight on Friday night at the Pacific Coliseum where the Canucks used to play. And they sold out. Like, they literally sold over 14,000 tickets. So, like, they sold out, like, the women's hockey team. They sold out BC Place for the Vancouver Whitecaps. BC Lions getting, like, 30,000 people a game. It's very impressive, actually. And this isn't, like, I haven't seen this before. Like, there's definitely, like, there's a sport. There's something going on in Vancouver right now that makes you wonder why they don't have an NBA team as well once again. Because they, I think it would definitely work. So props to Vancouver for delivering and buying as many tickets and stuff for these events. So, yeah, Saturday, I'll be at the game, LAFC, Vancouver Whitecaps. The winner goes to the conference finals. Big-time game. LAFC have eliminated the Whitecaps 2 years in a row in the playoffs as well. So LA has become a nemesis for Vancouver. It's funny because people in Vancouver and the Whitecap fans hate L.A. and consider it like, oh, they're our rival in our way. And it's funny, they asked the players on LAFC about Vancouver, and they said, no, it's not a rival. They said, you know, we're not – just geographically not a rival, but they're a really good team, so we end up playing them. But we don't have anything, like, personal against them. But Vancouver do. Like, Vancouver seem to take it more personal against LA. So the Vancouver Whitecaps are plus 115 and LAFC are plus 220. Remember, this game could go to penalty kicks and extra time and all that. So there's a potential for a draw after 90 minutes. I think there's going to be goals scored between LA and Vancouver. We'll post all of our picks and we'll do a video on Saturday for all the MLS action. It will be on Saturday afternoon for all the college football action as well with Cam Stewart. Cam, there's a couple of big-time games on Saturday, but a lot of the teams have scheduled cupcakes this week. It's rivalry week. Next week, it's the calm before the storm, but there are some big-time college football games tomorrow.
Yeah, even tonight, Gabe, later on tonight, Hawaii and UNLV is a good game. I think that's going to be fantastic. We got a 7-3 Hawaii team, 8-2 UNLV. That's going to be fun.
Not big time. That's a fun game, but that's not a big time game.
No, they're both they're doing well. Like, it's they're both teams that are like playing really, really good football. I'm just saying that. But there are Missouri and Oklahoma. That's a big game. Missouri's getting 6.5 at Oklahoma. That should be an interesting game. I kind of lean with your Tigers there. Got over their win total last week. That's a very, very good football game. So, yeah, you're right. And, you know, next week we have the Egg Bowl, too, with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. That should be fun. But, yeah, there are going to be some good games this weekend for sure. And we'll be on the air from noon till 3. USC and Oregon, obviously the biggest one at 3:30 Eastern. That should be awesome. Oregon laying 9.5 in that game, 59.5. That should be fantastic.
Yeah, there's really only like the two big ones, Missouri and Oklahoma, or Oklahoma obviously in the playoff mix, but they're in a precarious spot. Missouri, a loss to Missouri would be devastating for them. I love the under of the Missouri-Oklahoma game. The total is 42.5. Normally, I don't bet a total that low. We bet the under last week with Oklahoma and Alabama, and it didn't look like it was going to stay under. There were a bunch of points early in the game, but it ended up staying under the number when it was all said and done. But there were kind of like a bunch of freak early touchdowns in that game. I don't think there will be with Missouri. Thing with Missouri, and it's not confirmed yet, I don't think we're going to know until like the morning or something like that. But I think Bo Prabhula should be back for Missouri. So their quarterback has been hurt for the last three games, and it showed. You know, the kid did his best when he came in, but it's tough. Like, when you're making your first ever starts and you got to play against, like, the Texas A&Ms and the Alabamas of the world, that's not an easy situation. It seems as though that Bo, he's been upgraded to questionable. But Bo Prabhula has been practicing with Missouri for the last day or two here. So he's been practicing this week. The only thing is with Bo Prabhula is he hasn't played in like a month now. And he's not a good passer either, right? So, like, that's the whole thing. Like, he's better than the kid that they have. The kid that they have is a pocket passer, but he's young. He's never played before. He's a freshman. And his first games were literally against Texas A&M and Alabama. Right. And he was in over his head and it was a problem. But the thing is, Bo Prabhula can't throw the football either, but he can scramble. So the kid that came in, he couldn't scramble. So it was kind of like he was kind of screwed. At least Prabhula has the legs that he can bring to the table here and buy some time. But Missouri are in tough in this spot. Missouri's offense sucks. All they can do is really run the ball. Their defense is really good, but their offense just isn't good enough to knock Oklahoma off, I don't think. But I do believe that this game will be low scoring because I don't think Missouri are going to score. And Missouri's defense is really good. And Oklahoma's offense is okay, but like they're not great. That's why the total is 42.5. I'll pull the trigger on the under of that football game. Listen, Miami and Virginia Tech is a big one as well, in the sense that it's big for other teams hoping that Miami lose. But let's remember, James Franklin's not the coach yet, right, at Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech are, like, just point-blank terrible. And Miami are good against bad teams. So I'm not so sure there's an upset in the making there, although the game is at Virginia Tech. Rutgers go to Ohio State. So the number one team in the country, Ohio State, get Rutgers. Point spread is massive in this game now, up to 33 points. And Ohio State are beat up. All right. Now, this is another sort of injury situation you got to keep your eye on. That Jeremiah Smith and both Carnell Tate have been injured. They're two best wide receivers. How much do they want to risk getting guys hurt the week before the Michigan game if you're Ohio State? And if you're Ohio State as well, like, Ryan Day is a big-time jerk and stuff, and he will cover – he'll run the score up on you. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, Ryan Day doesn't really have a lot of friends that are other coaches. Like, a lot of these coaches guys are buddies with each other, right? So they'll be like, listen, we're already winning by 30. I don't need to win by 42 against this dude. I like the coach. And Endor as well, you like beating the team. And you don't want to get the coach fired either, right? So you like beating them all the time. But Ryan Day is just like, you know, he's a jerk, Ryan Day. And he's sensitive, right? So, like, Ryan Day knows that even though he's won a championship, that a lot of people in his own stratosphere don't really like him. right? Because he doesn't beat Michigan. So normally he'll run the score up to cover to tell, you know, he'll throw the boosters a bone type of deal. But this week, I'm not so sure. You know, two parts of me think that, you know, one part thinks Ohio State are going to be in a killer mode. They're going to want to, like, they're going to want to roll into the Michigan game on a high note. But then the other part of me says, you know what, if they're winning, you know, 35-0, that they'll take the pedal off the metal because of they play Michigan next week and they don't want to get anybody injured. The problem with this, though, is that Rutgers can't score on Ohio State. We talked about Rutgers earlier in the year being, oh, look at all these Rutgers games go over the number and stuff, but that has slowed down and Rutgers offense has settled into reality a little bit. They're not, they're going to have a hard time scoring against Ohio State, Cam. So it's 33, but it's generally really Ohio State can name their score. The total is 55 in this game. It's a tricky game due to the fact that Ohio State are playing Michigan the following week. But with all that being stated, I still wouldn't take Rutgers in this spot plus 33. They'll probably lose like 42-3 or something like that.
Yeah. I'd be looking at the under because I agree with you. I'm not sure if Rutgers is going to score against Ohio State. Like, what are they going to get, Gabe? Like 6 points in this game? Like, it'd be probably an achievement to get over 10 with that Ohio State defense. But to your point, which is a very good one, Michigan owns Ohio State and they can't be screwing around. So, you know, style points in this type of game, if they have key players and they're routing Rutgers, they're going to take them out of this game because they can't screw around against Michigan. They have a perfect season going on right now. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm in no rush to bet Rutgers. I actually look at this under because I'm not sure if the Scarlet Knights can score enough.
Another unique situation is Charlotte are playing Georgia, which is kind of ridiculous, right? It's an SEC thing, right? It's funny because the SEC, they talk so much, but they're the only conference that does this in which they play literally nobody the week before their big rivalry games, which is okay, whatever, fine. You know what I mean? I get it, but it's also just another free game on your schedule. So, like, if you're an SEC team, all right, you play a bunch of cupcakes to start the season, you play your SEC schedule, and then you book a cupcake midseason, right? I mean, Ole Miss played UMass the other week. You know, Georgia is hosting Charlotte, right? And but the thing is, Georgia are done with SEC play, which is very, very strange with 2 weeks left. So, like, Georgia plays Charlotte this week, and they got a game against Georgia Tech next week, but that's not an SEC game for them. So they're not in the same position kind of as some of these other teams where they're playing someone like they don't like Georgia Tech, but it's not the same as like Michigan, Ohio State, etc. for them as far as a threat is concerned. But Georgia Tech are good this year. So my long story point here is Charlotte are getting 43.5 against Georgia. The problem with this is Charlotte are just god-awful terrible. Like, they literally are a terrible football team. They're bad. You can't make a case, really, of like, well, you know, Charlotte will be able to do this or maybe a couple of drives that. Nah, they're not going to be able to do anything. But Georgia, Kirby Smart, 0-15 in his career. Kirby Smart is 0-15 in his career as a 38.5 or more point favorite. So basically anything above 38 points, he has never covered before, which is pretty crazy. Yet we've talked about this a lot where Georgia are not a good first half team either, right? Like Georgia have a lot of tendencies that they actually do live up to. And Kirby Smart has a lot of coaching trends that do repeat themselves. And, you know, Georgia take the pedal off the metal like they do. And we've talked about how Georgia doesn't cover in the first half ever. That's against, like, kind of good teams where they kind of are slow starters and they dial it up in the second half. But I get the feeling this week against Charlotte, Georgia, they're going to be winning, like, 28-0 early in the game and stuff. But I think Georgia will take the pedal off the metal. Kirby Smart does. Kirby Smart doesn't care about covering spreads and running the score up on you. And you know, you got an 0-15 situation that Kirby Smart is in. Yeah, Charlotte is terrible, but it's 43.5 points. So I'm just throwing that one out there for you. Now, one team that does need style points And a lot of these teams don't, right? They just win and advance, and it's as simple as that, you know, with 2 weeks left with the playoff picture. But one team that does need style points in a big way is James Madison. All right, JMU are on the border right now of making the playoffs, but they're in the Sun Belt. And let's just be real, man. Like, they're not going to make it. Like, you know, James Madison, they're not going to get it. I really would be a shock. Like, the committee does not want to put the Sun Belt in the college football playoffs. Right? Like, so you got North Texas and the Tulanes of the world. So, like, as it is right now, Tulane are in the playoffs. They, you know, can they have to give one spot to one of these other conferences, right? Which it's kind of like, you know, whatever. People want to see, you know what I mean, the smaller schools get a shot and stuff. But do you really think James Madison has a hope in hell if they make the college football playoffs?
No. Zero chance.
Like, they'll get murdered in the first game, and that'll be that type of deal. Same with North Texas, though, so whatever. I mean, there's just, it is what it is, right? I mean, you want, it's the whole thing, guys. You want to expand the playoffs for what? So a couple of these, you know, so you can see North Texas lose by 30 against someone. But anyways, James Madison are, like, still knocking on the door. They're not impressed. Their only loss is against Louisville, but they don't have any, like, good wins. They, you know what I mean? They've beaten a bunch of teams in the Sun Belt. So it's not like Washington State is a good win, but at least it's not a Sun Belt team, right? And so James Madison, guys, they need style points to, like, impress the committee. And you know what? If Tulane stumbles or, like, these other teams stumble and stuff, like, James Madison could make it. But they need to impress people doing it. And, you know, basically that means you got to smash teams. So James Madison are like 13.5 to Washington State. I've taken Washington State in these spots this year. Washington State have been really good in this spot, right? They went to Virginia, and they covered a spread. They went to Ole Miss, and they covered a spread, right? Like, Washington State have gone against these big teams and covered on the road this year.
Not just covered, Gabe. They lost to Virginia by 2. They were 15.5 point dogs. Mississippi, who's on fire, they lost by 3. You're right. And you know what I mean? Like, a lot of tight games. Like, this is the thing about these guys. They've played some big boys and done really, really well. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, that's why if you're James Madison, it's important, right? Because they don't play anyone, Cam. Like, they played Louisville and they lost.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't, like, the committee's not going to be impressed. Like, oh, look, man, we beat Arkansas State. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're not, they don't have anything to hang their hat on. Mm-hmm. So at least now, like you just said, they could say, look, man, Washington State lost by 3 against Mississippi at Ole Miss.
Exactly.
They could say Washington State went to Virginia and hung with Virginia. They came to James Madison. We beat them by 30. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why, like, there's certain, like, you know, not every game there's style points. This one there is, just point blank. You have the Dukes, James Madison, trying to make the playoffs. They're on the outside looking in right now, but there's still a couple of weeks left. So stuff can happen. They don't play teams that impress anybody. Now they have a team that top tier teams have played against. You want to talk about how great Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are? Well, whatever, dude. Washington State took them to the brink. You know, Virginia right now are, like, you know, on the cusp of potentially making the playoffs. Well, you want to talk about how good Virginia are? Well, Washington State took them to the brink. So James Madison, you know, potential playoff team. Well, James Madison beat them by 20, right? So, like, if you're James Madison, the final score really matters here. And another thing is, too, if you're Washington State, they're getting a little tired right now, Washington State. Like, they've been flying around everywhere, these poor bastards. When you're a member of the Pac-2, you don't have a lot of you don't have a lot of sway with making the schedule. You kind of got to go where you know you can get the game. So they've been flying around everywhere, Washington State.
You're right, Gabe. Like, look at this. They're a West Coast team. They go to Louisiana Tech. You're playing, you know, you got to get Toledo at home, but you go to Virginia. You go to Oxford, Mississippi to play Ole Miss. You know, like, yeah, this is nuts. At North Texas. Like, that's, yeah, their schedules are murderer's row for travel.
Right,
tough
not
for the
to mention,
Cougs.
Too, they don't make a lot of money. So, like,
no.
I imagine Washington State have lost a lot of money this year, their football team. And no, most of the time, I'm like, what are you talking about? These teams aren't losing money. Washington State are losing money. Like, they don't, you know, I mean, they don't have any boosters. They don't have any NIL money. Their fan base is, you know, not that big to begin with. And as Cam just mentioned, look at the travel. Like, these guys are, you know, I mean, it's cost a lot of money to fly around all these places, like, with that many people and hotels and everything. Like, it's just a disaster for them. That's why, like, they need a conference so they can play kind of geographically, you know, closer, and they don't have to spend all this money going everywhere. But Washington State have been very spirited and competitive this year, and they are 5-5, which is effing impressive, actually, considering what they've been through. So they're 5-5. They're battling for bowl eligibility, yet they've got one more game next week, and it's against Oregon State. And remember, they're playing each other twice this year, so it's the second time they're playing. They lost earlier this year, so it's a revenge spot. This time it's at home for their go back to Pullman. So they know, Cam, in the back of their minds. I'm not saying that they're quitting or they're rolling over or anything like that, but if you're Washington State, you're going to make a bowl game if you win, like, one more game.
That's an excellent take,
and you're not going to beat James Madison. Let's say so, like, just say the wheels fall off and James Madison start rolling and stuff. In the third and fourth quarter, Cam, the Washington State coach isn't going to be thinking, oh, I got to come back. I got to come back. We got to cover the point spread. He's going to be thinking, all right, we go back home. We beat Oregon State next week, and we're in a bowl game. And you know the kids on Washington State are aware of this as well. Like, this game could get away from them, like, with
big
James
time.
Madison. I think James Madison will cover.
No, this is that's a really, really smart take on this game. And if James Madison's rolling, they got a bigger picture, Washington State. Actually, Gabe, it's not just impressive. It's absolutely nuts that these guys are bowl eligible, and they should be able to beat Oregon State at home. This game, because of the Pac-2, we usually get to see Washington State in Washington, one of my favorite games of the year. But the second time they play the Beavs, 10-7 in the last game. And Washington State at home in Pullman will be able to beat up the Beavers. So, yeah, this is a very interesting take by you. If James Madison goes up, they probably cover running away.
The total is 42.5 for the James Madison game, which is incredibly light. Like, for me, what do you consider, like, James Madison's offense is good. And as I just mentioned, they're going to need style points, right? So, like, they're going to want to score as many points as they possibly can. And James Madison has scored 52 or more in three of their last four games. The Dukes are on a 4-0 over run. And here's another one. James Madison's team total is 5-2 to the over in its last seven games as well. So 42.5. I like that game to go over the number. Mercer and Auburn. And the coach, Terry Bowden, normally joins us on the college football show, but I've been told just moments ago that the coach will not be with us on the TV show this week because he will be in attendance at the Mercer and Auburn game. It's a weird game to go to if you're the coach. I guess he wants to make sure he's going to see a victory.
Yes.
Auburn are 27.5-point favorites against Mercer. Of course, Terry Bowden coached the Auburn Tigers, right? So going back home, so to speak, and was undefeated with them. We talked about it last week with him. It was a great story, actually, that we got into it with him, because normally we just sort of talk about the games that are on, but I brought it up last week. We were talking about undefeated. We were talking about teams with chips on their shoulder. And, like, you know, if you get screwed over, you don't like the NCAA or the polls and this and that. And for people unaware, Coach Terry Bowden, he really got screwed over for real in his career, in the sense that, you know what I mean? Like, he's nowhere near as famous as, like, his father, Bobby, right? So, you know, like, Bobby Bowden is just a pure legend. Florida State was there forever and stuff. But Terry Bowden, in his first year at Auburn, so Terry Bowden, you know, as a coach, his first year at Auburn, he's undefeated, guys. Think about that. In the SEC, like, the Auburn Tigers were undefeated, except the Auburn Tigers were on probation. And it was excessive probation. Like, it was, like, for recruiting stuff. And it wasn't Terry Bowden that did it. Like, Bowden just got there type thing. And so they got punished. So they knew about it. It wasn't like it was a surprise. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, they knew going in, yeah, you're not eligible to play in a bowl game. And So you're not eligible like to win the championship because you're not eligible to play in a bowl game. Like, but you can play the games during the regular season. So basically, Bowden did a great job. Terry did a great job of keeping them going on a week-to-week basis. Of like, we can't play, so we have to beat teams by as much as we can, and we can't lose a game. And like, you know, we'll plant our flag and say, you know what, you're banning us, but we just went 12-0, right? We just went 11-0. I think they played 11 games there. We just went 11-0, right? And they did. They actually ran the table and went undefeated, except in the foot. You know, it's a footnote in the history books, right? Like it'll never. It's not recognized. It's an undefeated season. You can't take that away from them. But it's not recognized, like they're not recognized as champions or anything like that when they actually could have been. And then like they got worse. And, you know, fast forward to years later, Terry Bowden's coaching the Akron Zips,
yep.
Right? Instead of being a national champion coach, right? Like, so he really did. It's, you know, he got screwed over. Let's just call it off what it is. But he also, so we talked about that last week with him, but he also admitted that it helped drive the team that year. Like, he basically said that they were possessed on a weekly basis, like, to go undefeated because they knew that they couldn't play in a bowl game to finish the season off. So you get these teams with chips on their shoulders, and, you know, you sort of got to ride the wave. Like, so especially at this time of the year, you got to find that sort of, you know, you got to find the angles with each team. You got Duke and North Carolina this week. That's kind of a big one as well, just because of the rivalry. Bill Belichick has 4 wins, so it looks like Bill Belichick will not even make a bowl game, Cam, in his first year with North Carolina.
Yeah, I didn't really expect Bill to do great things with North Carolina. I'm actually, you know, I thought they could even be worse, Morenci. But, yeah, this is an interesting game rivalry with Duke and North Carolina. These schools hate each other. There's a couple underrated games at night, too, buddy. Tennessee versus Florida. What about BYU, number 11 BYU at Cincinnati? That's a good football game right there, too. There's a couple real sleepers at the end of the card.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah, BYU is a big one. Cincinnati have started to slip a bit. BYU get no respect. BYU are 2.5-point favorites in the game on the road. I think BYU will get it done at Cincinnati. That is the big one. It's, you know what? There's a lot of games, but there's a lot of fluff games on Saturday mm-hmm. this week in college. Oregon and USC is a big one. And Missouri and Oklahoma is a big one. And BYU and Cincinnati is a big one. Everything else is just sort of, you know, massive point spreads and not a lot of drama and stuff like that. Listen, USC going into Oregon, the weather is going to be fine. So, like, that's the whole thing with USC. There's a couple of things. The USC Trojans, I think the Trojans could, like, compete with an NFL team if they played at home. And I think the USC Trojans would get, like, lit up by a CFL team if they traveled on the road type of deal. Like, USC are really Jekyll and Hyde in the sense – they're at home, they're just a different team, like when they go on the road. But with that being stated, they haven't lost every game that they go. They play on the road. And they played in bad weather. They were playing in the Midwest and stuff. And now they've got more experience under their belt on the road in bigger games. I don't think it's as daunting for them like playing on the West Coast now on the road. Right, like it's they've done this before, right? I mean, they're former Pac-12 rivals. You're right. It's not like, oh my God, we're going to Oregon. Like going to the Midwest, a tough trip for USC. So I'm not as intimidated by the road, so to speak, for USC this week. Another thing is, and listen, I get it, Austin Stadium, it's awesome in there, and the fans, it's a great vibe and all that, but teams have competed with them in that stadium, right? Indiana beat them. We're seeing teams are punching back, and like I said, I know it's such a tough place to play, but I don't think USC will be overwhelmed by the stadium or the Oregon fans. You know, they've played, you know what I mean? This Big Ten is toughing USC up, I think, as far as going on road trips and stuff. So it's a West Coast game. You're catching them. USC catch a break here, guys, as well, that the game is like, it's in the morning, right? It's the game is at 12:30 local time, 3:30 Eastern time, because there's no big games this week. So they got to put this game in like in the big slot at 3:30 in the afternoon. So that's 12:30 local time. It won't be as hostile. Like, it's just not the same. It's easier to play at 12:30 in Oregon than it is at like 10:30 at night type of deal. So like, there's like a lot of these little check boxes for USC. And then you get into the weather. You figure, well, you know what? And this time of the year in Oregon, it's going to be raining and it's going to be all like raining sideways and windy and stuff. It's not. It's going to be 50 degrees and sunny actually in Eugene tomorrow. Right. So USC weather, well, not a problem. Like travel, whatever, dude, it's an hour flight. Like you go down the list and then you get to Oregon's offense. The Ducks offense isn't that explosive. It's good. It's really, really good. And Dante Moore is an effing stud, but it's not like this isn't the old Chip Kelly days where they score 62 points a week and stuff. They're more defensive orientated. Oregon do have a really good defense now. It's the total is high in this game, guys. And you know, you guys know me, I'm a big over bettor. And you would figure, oh my God, Oregon and USC, it's going to be a track meet. I don't think it is a track meet. I don't think, you know, I don't think Oregon want to get into a track meet with USC. I think USC are going to run the ball as well and try to keep Oregon's offense. This is basically a playoff game, right? USC went out, they're going to the playoffs, right? Oregon went out, they're going to the playoffs. Like, this is a playoff game, essentially. Like, USC is eliminated. Oregon will have to sweat it out if they lose, like this game. Massive game. I'm looking at the USC Trojans plus 10, and the under, to surprise people, Kim, under 59.5. Like I said, this will play like a playoff game. The stakes are going to be incredibly high. And I think here's another good look for this one, guys. If the actual under scares you off, the first half under, it's 29.5 this game. It's not, I'm telling you, man, Dan Lanning plays it close to the vest like this guy. Like, he's not Chip Kelly. The Oregon Ducks are going to run the ball. They're going to play smash mouth defense. And then you get Lincoln Riley in a big game and we'll see what he has up his sleeves. And I know, you know, he'll have a trick play or two up his sleeve, but USC Cam aren't as like wild as people think either. Like, There's going to be, this is going to be like an NFL game. That's the best way to describe it, guys. It's going to look like and play like an NFL game. Like, you know, some of these games, they play like college games. This will play like an NFL game. Smash mouth, running the football, right? Like, it's, you know, playoff spot on the line. I will not be surprised if we do not get to 60 points in this game and it's lower scoring than people think, but I do like the USC Trojans plus 10. And I think USC have a puncher's chance of winning this game outright.
Yeah, I'm looking at game 35-24. You're still under the number by a hook. Yeah, 10 points is a lot of points in this game. USC's battle-tested. Oregon is very, very solid at home, but that could be a lot of points in this game. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, if I'm looking here, I thought the line maybe, like, Oregon by a touchdown, whatever. Now it's, you got to win by more like 10 points. That's a lot of points. I lean USC as well. And I totally agree. I'm not sure if they're going to get 60 points in this game. That's a 59.5, still a pretty meaty total. So yeah, I'd look to the under, and I like your call with the underdog and the Trojans.
Thing where USC is, everybody talks about everybody, you know, you think about their quarterback and you think about Lincoln Riley, and they've got, like, you know, Malachi Lemons, like one of the best wide receivers. They have a ton of skill players, this team, but they can run the ball, USC. That's something that they do that people don't talk about. And King Miller is a stud. So to me, he's the key to this football game. Like, you know, we can talk about Maeva and this and that and the USC Trojans. King Miller is the key to this football game for this team. If King Miller has a big game, USC can win. And looking at King Miller's props right now, guys, running back for the USC Trojans, King Miller, his over-under is 71.5. He rushed for 127 last week, 129 the week before. He had 70 in the game before that. He had 158 the week before that. So this is something, like I said, like we watch USC games every week religiously, closely, guys. People aren't talking about this kid nationally, King Miller, but the USC Trojans over the last couple of weeks, they're in the Big Ten. Like, they figured it out. They can't throw the ball 58 times a game. And Lincoln Riley's a sharp guy, right? He's smart. So they run the ball a lot now, USC. King Miller has become like a guy on their team now that is key. I'm going over 71.5 here. Like I said, he's going to get a lot of touches in this game. And he's just, the guy is he bust runs off all the time, man. This guy is an effing stud at the running back position. So give me the USC Trojans plus the 10. Give me King Miller over 71.5 rushing yards. NFL football this week, it is big, actually. We've got some really big-time divisional games this week. Some conference matchups, playoff spots up for grabs. Kansas City Chiefs in a must-win situation. So the Chiefs are 3-point favorites against the Colts. The Minnesota Vikings are getting 6.5 in Green Bay, and Minnesota's season is slipping away as my boy J.J. McCarthy struggles. The New England Patriots are laying 7 on the road to Cincinnati, yet it looks like it could be Joe Burrow time once again for the Cincinnati Bengals, which I don't really understand. Part of me doesn't get why the Bengals would even let Joe Burrow come back and play, but the other part of me gets it that, you know what, there's 7 games left, so and he wants to play. It is what it is. The Lions are up to 13-point favorites against the Giants now. The Ravens are 13.5-point favorites against the Jets. The Bears lay 2.5 to Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. The Seahawks are 13-point favorites on the road at Tennessee. The Raiders and the Browns, wow. Like, the Raiders and the Browns playing each other. I was going to say this is kind of like the worst game ever in the history of the NFL. And Shedeur Sanders is starting. But I was at the Jeff Saturday Colts Raiders game a couple of years ago. So
train wreck.
That was kind of on pace with it. Jags and Arizona, Jacksonville started to dial it up. Jacksonville are 2.5-point road favorites. The Saints are 2-point favorites against the Falcons. The Eagles are 3-point favorites against the Cowboys. That's a good one. The Sunday nighter, Tampa gets 7 against the Rams. And then Monday Night Football, the Carolina Panthers get 7 against the 49ers. What do you got in the NFL, Ken?
Well, I like the Indianapolis Colts game getting 3.5. I think it's going to be an absolutely tight game. I think they can get to Mahomes, and I think their offense can do enough to keep a closer win outright. They're plus 156 on the money line on FanDuel, and I'm getting that hook at 3.5. I like the Colts. I like the Steelers with Mason Rudolph to go in and beat Chicago. Chicago's been doing it with smoke and mirrors, but hey, they're winning games. That's all they can do. But honestly, if Jackson Dart didn't get hurt against the Giants, they would have lost that game. I think Pittsburgh needs to have a statement win. I think they go on the road and get it done there. Gabe, I'm actually thinking about taking the Jets plus 13.5 with Tyrod Taylor going against the Ravens. That's a lot of points. I like Seattle. 13. That's a lot of points right there. I also like the Las Vegas Raiders. Them as a favorite, probably a suicide move, but I'll tell you, I think they win by more than 3. It's minus 3.5 I'm seeing against the Browns. I think they get to Shedeur Sanders, and he makes a lot of mistakes in that game.
That's an absolute train wreck of a football game. It might be so bad that it could be fun to watch.
Yes.
Because it's going to be that bad, but I don't have a strong look on it. I would think the under, just because they both suck. Their offenses are both terrible. The Colts game, the Colts, I think, are a great teaser. The Colts are down to 3 right now, so the Chiefs are minus 3. I kind of get the feeling that it's going to be a 3-point game one way or the other, that it's going to come down to a field goal. The Chiefs season is on the line. I like the Colts, like, teased up to plus 10 in that spot, but I do think that it'll be a super close game. I like the Vikings, as crazy as it sounds, against the Packers. Yet the Minnesota Vikings are getting 6.5 points. The Packers are struggling right now as well. Like, the Packers are good. Their defense is elite. But their offense, they have so many injuries on offense. You know, like, the Packers are just, you know, the Packers want to win games, let alone cover and win by 7 points against a desperate team and stuff like that, against a division rival. It's just asking a bit much. Like, if you look at Minnesota, too, Minnesota keep losing these close games. You know, 19-17. I could see, like, this game being like that. You know, 20-17 type thing, right? You know, 17-14, 20-17, maybe 23-20. Yeah. But Green Bay wins by three or something.
Yeah, no, all the Packers games are close, and asking them to cover, to win by a converted touchdown, that's a lot. And Minnesota coming off that loss to Chicago, if not for a big return, they would have squeaked out a win. So it seems like a lot of points for Green Bay to be laying in a divisional tilt.
Yeah, so I'm on the Vikings. Like I said, I like the Colts in a teaser, but I do like the Vikings plus the 6.5. The Bengals plus 7, right? Especially now with Joe Burrow back. Now, it's not official, I guess, yet, but it looks like Joe Burrow is playing, right? So I don't really get why the point spread really hasn't moved all that much in this game. He's listed still as, you know, questionable type of deal, but he's been practicing with the ones. So if Joe Burrow plays, I'm getting 7 points with the Bengals. I will take it. I like the Lions at like 10 and 11 type thing, 10.5. But all these 10-point favorites all got spiked up to like 13, right? Like the Lions are now laying 13 to the Giants. The Ravens are laying 13.5 to the Jets. The Seahawks are laying 13 to the Titans. I think they're probably all three are. The one that I would say that could cover would be the Jets.
Me too.
Only because of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is he's better than Justin Fields, right? And we've seen the Jets have been scrappy, actually, like even with Justin Fields. Like, the Jets haven't quit on the season or anything. It's a lot of points. And Tyrod Taylor gives them a better chance of winning a game than Justin Fields does. But with that being stated, they can still lose 27-3 or something like that. So I'm not taking the Jets. Like, there's no way in hell I'm taking the Jets, but I'm just saying, out of these big favorites here, I think Detroit will murder the Giants. The Detroit Lions off a loss. They're like 12-0. They win by they kill teams after they lose. And the Lions are good at beating bad teams. The Seahawks are laying a lot of points for a road game, right? A lot of people like the Seahawks game. That's why they're up to 13, but I'm just going to have to pass. I'm not laying 13 on the road.
I'm not either, Gabe. And the thing about Tennessee is they did cover against the Chargers. You know what I mean? They're a horrible football team. Let's call it out for it is. But Seattle, despite having a great record on the East Coast now, and it's an early start, you're asking Sam Darnold and that team to win by like 2 touchdowns. That's a lot on the road. That back door is open as well. I like Seattle probably to win right around the number, but you're right. It's a very scary game.
Seattle is going to be a big, you know, Seattle are in a lot of people teasers. Like, even if you do a 10-point teaser now, which is wild. You know, let's say you try to three team 10-point teaser, you still got to win by four. 3 and 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Seattle is like, all right, they're 13 now. The Ravens are 13.5. The Lions are 13.
It's nuts.
You know, so you can money line parlay the three of them together. For the record, I use the Detroit Lions as my survivor pick. And you know what? It's kind of a toss up now because I'm worried about next week in the Thanksgiving. If I can get past the Thanksgiving, if I can get through this week and next week, I think I might be able to like go on a run here and get to the end. But the Thanksgiving one is the bitch because there's only 3 games and you've got to pick it like it's its own entity and it's its own week. So I could save the Detroit Lions for next week for the Thanksgiving Day game. But the thing is, the Lions are playing the Green Bay Packers. The Lions should win at home. It's a revenge spot. They lost the first game against them this year, but that's not a survivor pick. I mean, you know, the Packers could easily win that game. The Lions aren't great this year. And I got the Baltimore Ravens are playing. You got the Chiefs and the Cowboys, which that's not a survivor pick. It's like, really? Like, that, you know, I can't trust either team, like, you know, next week in that role. And you got Cincinnati at Baltimore next week on Thanksgiving. And now that Burrow's back, I'm not in love with this, but my best option is actually the Baltimore Ravens next Thursday night as far as the Thanksgiving Day games are concerned. So I could take Baltimore this week if I wanted in Survivor, but then I won't have them next week. And I'd have to take either Kansas City, Dallas, Detroit, or Green Bay. And in fact, I think I already used the Packers. So, like, I'm kind of screwed. So I don't have a choice here. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions this week in Survivor. And next week, I'm going to hope for the effing best that the Baltimore Ravens don't choke on Thursday Night Football, Cam. And or maybe I'll take a look at, like, Kansas City. I think Kansas City will beat Dallas next week, but let's see if Kansas City wins this game first this week. Because I think if KC wins, which they probably do against Indianapolis, they're going to be 6-5, and then it becomes like the, you know, the NFL is going to, like, love it because the Chiefs and the Cowboys can becomes a massive game on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it's something to think about, too. Not that the NFL is not like the NBA type thing. Like, the NFL is not going to, like, rig these games because, ooh, they want a big Thanksgiving Day game. But put it this way. It would be better for the NFL if the Dallas Cowboys won and the Chiefs both won on Sunday. And then you have a big-time game between the Chiefs and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving between two teams that are battling for a playoff spot, right? I think they'll be happy if one of them wins, but for the record, I like the Eagles against the Cowboys. The Eagles get no respect on a weekly basis. I'm tired of messing with them. They were basically a pick 'em against Green Bay. They go into Green Bay and they win. Last week, they're -2.5 against the Detroit Lion team that choke all the time. They win the game easily. Now they're only a field goal favorite against the crap-ass Dallas Cowboys that people are excited about. Because why? Because they beat the Raiders? Like, really? Like, the Raiders are, like, one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL. Like, they're that bad. So, I don't get it. Yeah, you know, I just don't get it. Like, people just don't want to bet on the Philadelphia Eagles ever. But I will take the Eagles. And finally, in closing, guys, we'll be on for the pregame show. But, yeah, the Buccaneers have a ton of injuries and stuff like that. But 7 points, a lot of points to be giving them. The Bucs are going in the wrong direction, and the Rams are, like, becoming, like, Super Bowl favorites type of deal right now. But I think that point spread is a little high. And we'll have all of our picks tomorrow on the College Football Show, and we're going to be at the soccer game tomorrow night, so I'll post a video and a bunch of MLS playoff picks as well. Our apologies to Rob Vino. We had a miscommunication in time, more our fault than his fault. We started late today. And Rob has, like, you know, we always got to get Rob out a little bit earlier for his wager talk show. And also, especially, like, older people and stuff, but everybody is screwed up by this new DM stuff on X. Even it took me a day or two to stop getting really annoyed by it. But a lot of people aren't seeing their direct messages as quickly, and they're having a hard time seeing it and stuff like that because X screwed around and changed the format of the direct messages. It's encrypted now, which I guess is cooler. You can't get as hacked and people can't steal your messages as easy, but it's a pain in the ass. And a lot of people, like, all week I've been getting this from people. Oh, I didn't, man, this new DM thing. I didn't see it for like an hour because of this. And I didn't tell that and stuff like that. So, we miss Rob Vino. We always love having Rob on the show, but we'll catch up with Rob next week. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.